الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل إلا أن تكون تجارة عن تراض منكم وقال تعالى وأحل الله البيع وحرم الربا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم البيعان بالخيار ما لم يتفرقا فإن صدقا وبينا بورك لهما في بيعهما وإن كذبا وكذبا محقت بركة بيعهما. القرآن العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear respected elders, brothers and friends, it is day 263 of the Israeli genocide of our Palestinian brothers and sisters. It is almost 8 months and the genocide still continues. Despite the world calling for justice, despite many countries and institutions calling for justice, standing up for justice, the genocide still continues. Several cases have been filed, orders have been issued, yet the genocide still continues. It is the instinct of human beings to call for justice, to stand for justice wherever you are. And with that hope, we have hope that inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant some relief and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will free our Palestinian brothers and sisters from this oppression. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He frees Palestine. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He eases their difficulty and their pain. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He frees them from these oppressors, these occupiers and these aggressors that are committing a great injustice against our brothers and sisters in Palestine. In the same light, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls for justice. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ. That all believers stand for justice as witnesses for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Even if it means against your own selves, أَوِلْ وَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ. Even if it means against your own parents and your own relatives. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that apply justice and apply justice consistently. In other words, if we are calling for justice globally, internationally, and we should do so, then the same must be applied to our own selves, the same must be applied to our own circles, the same must be applied to our places of work and our businesses. In the Quran al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about various injustices that were committed over time and that remain a lesson for the ummah till qiyamah. Many of the anbiya alayhi salam were businessmen. They engaged in trade. Many of the sahaba were businessmen, engaged in trade. In fact, many of the fuqaha were businessmen and engaged in trade. Trade is the most common form of earning an income, and there's a lot of barakah and blessings in earning an income through business and through trade. So, if we study the Islamic rules and principles related to business, we'll find that everything, all the rulings revolve around one thing. And what is that? It is justice and fairness in business and trade. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ, that, O believers, do not devour, do not consume each other's wealth through unlawful means, to unjust means. إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً عَن تَرَضٍ مِّنْكُمْ, except that it be through trade with mutual consent. So, unjustly devouring and consuming one's wealth is not allowed, not permissible. For instance, a person is not allowed and permissible, for him to sell goods on credit with interest. Person A cannot sell goods to person B with interest. Why? Because that is unjust, that is unfair. It's an unfair advantage. It is not in lieu of anything. Similarly, if person A offers person B a loan with interest, again, it's an unfair advantage, and that is not allowed, that is not permitted. So, this basic principle that we find in the Quran al-Kareem is applied across all the rules of business and trade. Every one of us in some way or the other is involved in trade, involved in business. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the ethics of a businessman in the Quran al-Kareem. On one occasion, there was a Sahabi who was busy in trade and he was weighing some goods. As soon as the azan was called, he dropped everything and he went straight to the masjid, and the verses of the Quran al-Kareem were revealed in praise of him. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, that true men are those people that business, trade does not distract them from the remembrance of Allah whatsoever. Regardless of how lucrative the deal may be, regardless of how lucrative the offer may be, وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ, they know for sure, whatever is written for them will come to them. It is the time for salah, they will come to salah. It is the time to discharge their zakat, they will not delay the discharging of their zakat. يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ, they fear the day when the eyes and the hearts will tremble. They fear that day. So, these are true people and these are true businessmen. In our social circles, in our family circles, we must apply the rules of justice equally and consistently. For example, if a father is gifting his son a gift, then he must equally apply that principle to his other son or his other daughter. If a person is running a business, it's a family business, and he has his sons in his business, and he decides to give shares of his business to some of his sons, and he's got daughters, the same must apply to the daughters. If he is not giving them the same share in the business, then a similar share or another form of same value must be applied. On one occasion, Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu an was on the minbar, he was on the pulpit, he was giving a khutbah, and he was addressing the people, and he mentioned his incident, and he said that on one occasion, my father gave me a gift, but my mother refused to accept that gift be given to me. She refused to witness that, and she said that I will not agree to this until the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam agrees to it. So then he goes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is informed of the situation. So he asks him that, have you given the same to your other sons? So he says, no, I haven't given them the same thing. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam instructed him to take back that gift because he could not maintain equality, and told him, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, fear Allah, وَعَدِلُوا بَيْنَ أَوْلَادِكُمْ, and maintain justice and equality amongst your own children. So, justice must be applied across the board and consistently. We must not say this is just and fair for my son or sons, and then we don't apply the same rules for the daughters. The purpose and objective of a gift is what? It is to create mahabba, it is to create love. It is not to create hatred and animosity amongst people, amongst children. We find many cases of inheritance. The father, whilst he was living, he's given some assets to his children, and then he excluded other children because he did not have a close relationship with them, or they were living overseas, etc. And then when he passes away, instead of that gift being a means of bringing the family together, that becomes a means of separating and distancing families from one another. That should not be the purpose and objective. So, unless there is valid grounds and valid reasons to give preference to one child over the other, for instance, one child is disabled, so on and so forth, that is a different case and a matter altogether. But in general, in normal circumstances, we must maintain equality even amongst our own children. Another injustice that the Quran Kareem speaks about is the devouring of others, the devouring of the wealth of others through false claims and false cases. On one occasion, there was a dispute between two Sahaba. So they brought the case to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They appointed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the arbiter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the judge, and they presented the case to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one Sahabi claims that the land belongs to him. The other Sahabi also claims that the land belongs to him. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam applies the rules and principles of justice, which is al-bayyinatu ala al-mudda'i wal-yameenu ala man ankar, hadith, that the burden of proof lies upon the claimant. If you are claiming, you must provide evidence that the land belongs to you. So this Sahabi did not have evidence to present that the land belongs to him. So the rule is, وَالْيَمِينُ عَلَى مَنْ أَنْكَرْ. If the claimant does not have evidence to support his claim, then an oath is taken by the defendant and a rule and a judgment is made accordingly. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is about to take an oath from him when he recites these verses of the Qur'an Kareem. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَشْتَرُونَ بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ وَإِيمَانِهِمْ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. That verily there are those who for a small price take a covenant and take an oath in the name of Allah. أُولَٰئِكَ لَا خَلَاقَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. They do not have any share in the Akhirah. As soon as the Sahabi hears these verses, immediately he withdraws his claim and he takes his claim back and he leaves it as it is. Why? Out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do we learn from this? We learn that it is firstly incorrect, impermissible for a person to make false claims or to file a false case in whichever court of law and then claim that right through whatever means is available to him. So we live in South Africa. If a person feels that he has some evidence and there is a chance of him getting benefit from such a claim, even though at the bottom of his heart he knows that this does not belong to me, this is not my right, this is impermissible for him, this is haram for him. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on another occasion informed the Sahaba, informed the people that many of you bring your cases to me. And obviously I have to judge and I have to arbitrate and make a decision on these cases. Innama ana bashar, I am a human being. I will listen to the evidence presented by the parties and I will make a judgment accordingly. But then he says that some of you are more eloquent. Some of you are more convincing. A person has a lawyer or he has a representative. He may not be able to present his case very well, but the lawyer does an excellent job in presenting his case and wins the case for him. So sometimes that happens. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if ever I make a verdict, I make a judgment in favor of another brother, and this is done in error, obviously, while considering the evidence in front of me, then beware, be careful. إِنَّمَا أَقْطَعُ لَهُ قِطْعَةً مِنَ النَّارِ. I am passing over to him a piece of Jahannam, a piece of fire. So applicable this is to our case and our scenario. For instance, a person passes away and did not have an Islamic will. The ulama say that it is wajib and compulsory for a person to have an Islamic will. Why? Because if he passes away, there is a very great chance that his estate is distributed un-Islamically. It goes interstate. The laws of the government of the country will apply. So every one of us here that is baligh and mature, it is wajib and compulsory for us to have an Islamic will to ensure that an un-Islamic distribution does not take place. So in an unfortunate event, a case ends up at the court and the court and the judge rules in our favor that this is your share, that is your share, etc. Totally against the laws of the Quran Kareem. There's a set rule, there's set laws in terms of inheritance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specified to the number, to the figure, how much each heir must receive, how much the mother must receive, how much the father must receive, so on and so forth. If you do not put these processes in place, then it is very likely that an un-Islamic distribution takes place. And now people are then put into a position. And they are tempted. The court on one hand is saying that they should receive such and such share. On the other hand, Islamic law is saying otherwise. Na'udhu billah, we've dealt with cases where our own Muslims were involved And because the court was giving them more than what they were entitled to, they went with that. Na'udhu billah. This is haram. This is not allowed. So, these are certain injustices that are common in our society and that we must take cognizance of and keep in mind. So, another injustice that the Quran Kareem speaks about is in regards to the nation of Shu'aib alayhi salam. The nation of Shu'aib alayhi salam, they had currency, gold and silver, and some of his people, what they would do, they would collect this gold and silver, and then they would chip the edges of these gold and silver coins, and they would profit from it in their own way, and they would make a good business out of it, and then they would recirculate those gold and silver coins into the market at par value, at par value. This was the corruption prevalent in the time of Shu'aib alayhi salam. And then the verses of the Quran Kareem were revealed. وَيَا قَوْمِ أُوفُ الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ. That, O people of Shu'aib, do weigh and measure correctly, justly. Do not defraud people and do not create corruption in the world. In our context, we find nowadays there are many people involved in businesses, many people selling different things. Some are doing it on a part-time basis, some are doing it on a full-time basis, some do it occasionally. We must be very careful in terms of our dealings. If you are selling 5 kilos of flour, you must make sure it's exactly 5 kilos of flour. If you are selling 5 liters of oil, you must make sure that person is receiving the full amount. Five bags, 5 rolls, whatever the amount is. If you are claiming to sell that amount, make sure you give the exact amount. An entire surah of the Quran Kareem is revealed in regards to this. Those people who, when they give, they don't give correctly. They give less. But when they take, they don't bother. They accept fully. So the supplier is supplying you goods. If the supplier gives you 1-2 bags extra, you do not bring it to the attention of the supplier. This is incorrect. And similarly, when you are passing it on to the customer, you give a little less and the customer doesn't bring it to your attention and you keep it like that. This is not correct. This is defrauding. This is an injustice that needs to be corrected. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this in the Quran Kareem. Another injustice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the Quran Kareem regarding business and trade is, rather, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about it, is the taking of false oaths and false advertising. On one occasion, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. That there are 3 types of people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not speak to, would not look at, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not purify them of their sins, and indeed there is a severe punishment and torment for them. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu hears this hadith and he says, Khabu wa khasiru. Who are these people, O Nabi of Allah? So then he says, Al-Musbil, it is that person who lets his garments trail. Wal-Mannan, it is that person who boasts of his kindness to others. He's given someone sadaqah and he's given someone zakat and he tells everyone about it. And the third one is that person who sells his goods through false oaths and false advertising. False oaths and false advertising. The client is there, the customer is there, and you give him this promise, and you give him that promise, and you exaggerate the sale to such an extent that it is untrue. It is false. This is also not allowed and permissible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not want to speak and see such a person on the day of Qiyamah. There are several examples that we find in our community, in our society that needs attention. For instance, a person does pricing promotions and he misleads the customers, he misleads the clients. He says 50% of all items. But then when you arrive at the shop, when you arrive at the store, it's only on selected items. This is also a means of misleading. Another one is inaccurate product images. You put an image of the product there, very vibrant, very live. But then when you come to the store, it's not the same thing. Another one is false comparative advertising. You say, listen, ours is the best price. No one's got this price anywhere else. Or this item here is 10 times better than that item. This is all exaggeration. This is false advertising. Not permitted, not allowed. Another injustice that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam draws our attention to is when an item has a defect in it. And it becomes the responsibility of the seller, it becomes the responsibility of the trader to inform the customers and clients of the defects that contain in the product. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Al-Muslim wa akhul Muslim, it's not permissible for a Muslim to sell his brother goods in which there is a defect unless he specifies and he points out that defect to that person. So you are selling vehicles or you are selling some goods, etc. It has a defect and you intentionally omit and you do not inform the client of it. There's a faulty gearbox. There's a, you're selling property. There's structural problems with the property. This goes against the character of a believer. You have a duty and responsibility to inform that person of the defect in those goods. A famous incident of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. He was a great scholar. He was also a businessman, like many of the other fuqaha, like many of the other muhaddithin, etc. So he was a clothing merchant. And he was in a partnership with Hafs bin Abdul Rahman. And what he would do is he would prepare the goods, he would prepare the shipment, and he would hand it over to Hafs bin Abdul Rahman, and he would then go to the different cities and areas in Iraq and sell those goods. And that's how he made a profit in a partnership. So, on one occasion, he prepared the shipment and he prepared the goods, and he handed it over to Hafs bin Abdul Rahman, and he told him that, listen, in the shipment here, there are some defective goods. When you are going to sell it to the customers, the clients, make sure you inform them that there is some defect in these goods. So he went and he sold these goods and it slipped his mind. He forgot to mention and point out the defects to the customers, to the clients. And then he realizes, you know what, I've got no record, I've got no contact details of these customers, these clients, etc. And he then returns to Imam Abu Hanifa and he tells Imam Abu Hanifa, you know what, this is the situation, what must I do? Immediately, without thinking, Imam Abu Hanifa, what does he do? He takes the profit that and the income that was derived from that sale, and it amounted to 30,000 dirhams, 30,000 silver coins, a large sum of profit, a large sum of money, and immediately he gave it in charity, he gave it in sadaqah, so that he does not come even close to this hadith. Now remember, this was unintentional, this was inadvertently done, he was not responsible for it. But despite that, he goes to this level and to this extent. On one occasion, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the marketplace, and he occasionally visited the marketplace, and he came across a sahabi who was selling corn. He puts his hand in the corn, and he finds that his hands are now moistened. So he calls the sahabi who is selling that corn, and he asks him that, what is this? It is wet, my hands are moistened. So the sahabi explains that it is due to rainfall. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him that, why didn't you take the wet corn and put it on top of the dry corn so that people can see and decide for themselves that, listen, this is now defective goods, and you know, defective goods are contained in this product, in this item or these items. Let them decide for themselves. And then he goes ahead and he says, Man ghasha falaysa minni. That person who deceives is not counted amongst me, is not counted amongst my ummah. So important it is for us as a Muslim ummah to be transparent in our dealings, to be open in our dealings, and not to deceive our brothers and sisters when they are buying from us. Another injustice, or rather instruction that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us of is in regards to price fixing. So there are suppliers that will supply you goods, and they will tell you that, listen, this is the price. You cannot sell it lower than this price. You can sell it higher, but nothing lower. On one occasion, the Sahaba came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they told him that, O Nabi of Allah, prices are very high. Things are exorbitantly priced. You know what? Fix prices for goods. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Allah huwa al-musa'ir. Al-Qabid, Al-Basit, Al-Razzaq. Allah is the one that fixes everything. Allah is the one that spreads. Allah is the one that expands. Allah is the one that is the sustainer. I hope that when I come in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no one there that can make any false claims against me of injustice, that I unjustly fix this or I unjustly fix that. So I don't want this type of injustice. So when you are selling goods, Do not put restrictions on prices. Islam encourages free markets and an open market. If you now say that, listen, if you are going to sell this lower than this price, I'm not going to supply you anymore. This is incorrect. It's a free market. It's an open market. So these are some things that we have to keep in mind. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that al-bayyani bil-khiyar ma lam yatafarraqa, that two transacting parties, they have the decision at that point in time to either conclude the deal or to walk away from the deal. And he goes further and he adds that if they are transparent, they are truthful in their dealings, they point out any defects, Allah will grant them barakah and blessings in that transaction. But if you conceal the defects, knowingly, you omit this and you omit that, then muhiqat barakatu bay'ihima, there will be no barakat and blessings in that. To conclude, the message is, we are calling for justice globally, internationally. We need to apply the rules of justice consistently within ourselves, within our families, and amongst our own circles and in our businesses. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.